Speak a word. Speak a word.
There were three men came out of the west their fortunes for to try. And these three men made a solemn vow, John Barleycorn must die.
And hello everybody. Welcome to our ceremony. Tonight we're celebrating Lunasa, also known as Lammas. And this is the first of the three harvests. So this is, I guess, like I always say, all of the festivals are special in their own way. So tonight we have with us Gwen Holdenberry, Stan Klein, Davron Michaels, Rick Spacek, Mike Valerius. Is Brooke here? And myself, Ruth Anna Martefio. So this is, since it's the first harvest, you know, we're going to be thinking about what we have set our intentions on back in the spring or maybe late winter, and what of that has come to fruition, and what still needs a little more time to mature and ripen. And we're celebrating Lunasa. This is a festival celebrating Lu, the sun god, who was also the god of crafts and thunder and lightning, and, you know, quite a fantastic god. His festival he started was to commemorate his mother, who died from exhaustion from clearing the land in Ireland for agriculture. So she's a major agricultural goddess. And also, he wanted athletic competitions. So the merrymaking took on all kinds of things. It was like a market day. It was a fair with the competitions. And then, of course, the fire. And people tried to go to the mountains or higher hills to celebrate. I think that we like to do that. That's sort of something that's inborn in us. But we're just going to get right on into our ritual. So I'm going to cast a circle in a way that our temple used to always use. I mean, this is not original to us, but I think it's a good circle cast. So grab incense or your candle or smudge stick and either make the circle literally or visualize it, however you want to do it. I conjure thee, O circle of power, that thou beest a boundary between the worlds of mankind and the realms of the mighty ones, a guardian and a protection that shall preserve and contain the powers that we shall raise within thee. Wherefore do I bless and consecrate thee. So mote it be.
So mote it be.
So mote it be.
And we'll start with the quarter of east air.
Element. We call you from the east, element of air. Lend us your powers of the intellect and communication. Join us now. So mote it
be. So mote it be.
We call you from the south, element of fire. Be with us this night in our work. Help us manifest those things we desire in the future, and help us see the things we have accomplished since the beginning of the year. We welcome you, fire. Hail and welcome.
Hail and welcome.
Welcome. We call you from the west, water. Be with us now with your fluidity. Help us to leave our rigidity behind. We welcome you now. Hail and welcome.
Hail,
hail.
Welcome.
Hail.
Welcome.
Hail.
Welcome. Element of the North, we call you. Element of the Earth, be with us this night. Share with us those things and wisdom that you have. Give us a foundation on which we will start new things for the rest of the year. We welcome you, Earth. Hail and welcome.
Hail.
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 Welcome.
Invocation?
Yes. Yes.
I call the harvest goddess. I ask you to come and lend your abundance and healing from the earth mother to us. I call the great corn mother to abide with us. We bring thanks to our mother, the earth which sustains us. We bring thanks to the rivers and streams which supply us with water. We bring thanks to all the earth which furnishes medicine to cure our diseases. We bring thanks to the corn maiden and her sisters, the beans and squash which give us life. We bring thanks to the bushes and trees which provide us with fruit. I call you, Corn Mother, Santa Clara, you lady who gave your own heart to be planted so the stalks of corn would grow, ripen, fill the people with food. Come be with us tonight. So mote it be.
So mote
it be. I invoke the sun goddess Lunasad at the time of the first of the harvest and the ripening grain. And though his power of the sun is beginning to weaken, he still has much more work to do before he succumbs to winter. And therefore, he continues to give us grain while the goddess power begins to grow. So mote it be.
So mote it be.
Ancestors, we call to you. Share with us this night the wisdom that you have from times gone by. Grant us some of the knowledge and help us guide these wise to look at what we have done so far and those things we wish to accomplish in the future. Share that with us this night. I bid you hail and welcome.
Hail.
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 Welcome.
And welcome.
I ask you to join with me in this meditation and voyage to the shining Lunasa. Walk with me upon the harvest new mown hay. Let the sun's golden rays shine right through with its bright harvest eyes. The gathering fresh ripened fruit will be celebrated in song and dance. Walk with me in the golden harvest sun. Ripe orchards, the golden fields gild our path in this our first harvest of Lunasa. Running in the summer sun with the golden wheat sway, the bushels of fruit we've gathered in, and the summer's sweet honey caressing our lips. The sweet red apples and the golden dappled pears and the deep purple grapes, all in which our feast, the great golden god, Lu, shines as the sun and opens his arms of light. The first harvest is in and the feasting begins.
The apples and pears and grapes are in, and the miller's wheel goes round and round. The great golden god Lou shines as the sun and opens his arms of light. The swaying green tin has been gathered in, and the mead and the maidens go round and round. And the mead and the maidens go round. The great god Lou shines as the sun and opens his arms of light. The summer is sweet with the corn, and the grain gleams in the glistening sun. And the maid and the maidens go round and round, and the golden sun is raised up each shining shaft of grain. And the miller's wheel will grind and grind, and the baker's bread will rise and shine. And the ovens bring their bounty forth, and the mead and the maidens go round and round. And the mead and the maidens go round. The great golden god Lou shines as the sun and opens his arms of light. The first harvest has come, golden wheat gained by the sun. And the ovens are full and making true. And the mead and the maidens go round and round. And the mead and the maidens go round. The ovens are baking the golden bread. The bread fills the air with its glory. And the mead and the maidens go round. And the song of the harvest is the story. And the mead and the maidens go round and round. And the mead and the maidens go round. The great god Lou shines as the sun and opens his arms of light. So mote it be.
So mote it be.
So mote it be. Oh, beautiful visuals there, Rick.
Thank you.
Very golden. That's wonderful. Yes. If we have some poems now, would be a good time. Last year we read John Barleycorn, which is, I think, like the classic for this particular holiday, but we won't read it this time. I would suggest that people look it up, check out the words. It's interesting. If you've never heard it before, it sort of has a twist at the ending. I really like that. And also, there's several people on YouTube doing the song. So it's lovely. So do check it out. Mike, you have a poem or two?
I have a couple.
Okay.
Not sure which one I should start with.
Well.
A short one or a slightly longer one?
Go with a slightly longer one.
Okay.
Yeah, why not?
Okay. Gardens in August have a little ways to go, as some things are ready to pick. Most flowers bloom, with a few soon to be spent, and others just starting to show. Cicadas buzz loud, nearly nonstop into the evening, when sunsets become noticeably earlier. Leaves of trees, a few with silver undersides, sway pleasantly against clear blue skies. So much changes in this transitional month, but all that grows keeps their appearance a while.
I'm hearing the cicadas.
What's that?
I'm hearing cicadas.
I think we got them online.
Yeah, well, probably. And now the shorter one.
You want the shorter one? Okay.
Yeah.
The cracks of August in the ground are ready for seeds and the rain when the rain returns.
That was taken right from your backyard.
Yes.
Yes, Mike is in Iowa, and he has cracked ground.
and we're at the beginning of a drought, officially.
Oh, okay.
And the cracks in the backyard are big enough for me to fall in.
I shouldn't laugh. That's horrible. Well, don't. Yeah.
And the sad thing is, when it does rain, it will rain so much at one time, none of it will get absorbed or very little.
That's what happened earlier. Yeah.
Well, that's why Mother Nature invented the cracks, so that the water will fill into those, and the rest does just run right off.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. It's interesting. It takes in what it needs.
Yeah. And sometimes not as much as it needs. Right? I mean,
yep.
Really,
yep.
At least according to our views, but...
It can only take in what's available, and sometimes, yes, that's just not enough.
And what, yeah.
Well,
and
we
that,
went
that
from... We went from extremes this year of record snowfalls in November and January, all-time record low temperature in January of minus 33, breaking the old record by 5 degrees. And then we had a lot of heavy rain in May and June. And now July we have very little.
Oh.
Well, see, I have a hard time even imagining living somewhere that it gets minus 38 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
When it gets 38 degrees here, I'm kind of really freaking out because I'm in Central Florida. What's this 30 degree temperature stuff?
Yeah, with orange trees are frosting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In Florida, you have
to live here.
Yeah, down there you have a Gulf Stream.
Yeah.
Influences it.
They had such a hard freeze, it wiped out about two-thirds of the orange orchards.
Ouch.
And Orange County.
Orange County, yeah.
And that's why the prices of the fruit is what it is, because a lot of these groves, they just plow them under and turn them in development, because it takes so long to grow an orange tree before it will produce fruit. It takes about 7 years.
I didn't know that. Oh.
So if they didn't have funds to stay alive for 7 years, plus pay for taking care of the grove, they're out of business. And land developers come in and played on that. And now you got nice big apartments and shopping malls and all kinds of crap. When I first come down here, it was fantastic in the spring and even in the fall to drive down the road because it was just filled with this vibrant, bright fragrance of the fresh oranges and the orange blossoms. It was so
orange
cool.
Blossoms.
And
yeah, orange blossoms.
And in the few hills we have here, when you were on the hill, you were looking at just this orange ocean in front of you. Because it grows everywhere. I mean, they were on both sides of the roads everywhere. Now there's very, very few. And some of the growers went to apples because they're a hardier plant and it only takes 4 years to get them to maturity where they've got sellable fruit. Now that you've had your economic lessons on the various fruit trees in Florida, we'll continue onward.
I love oranges and apples, and I don't weigh them against each other. You know, it's oranges and apples. That's fine. It's strawberries and watermelons. I'm all good. But we've talked about the actual fruits, and in Rick's meditation, you know, we were seeing the different fruits and the grains. And so now then, let's think a bit about the other kind of harvest that we're doing. When Gwen and I started this ritual group, our aim was to help heal the planet, to help heal the world. And we want to continue doing that. And so today for raising energy, I'd just like to ask you then to think about the intentions that you set back in the winter or the spring. And think about, and you don't have to say it out loud, but think about the results you've had. And some of the results may have totally matured. It might be time to set some other goals, to set some more intents. Or the intents that you set might be in like layers. And so the first one has come to fruition for this first harvest, and we still have the harvest in September and the harvest in October for it to totally mature. But think how these intentions that were set, how it has helped you as a person to heal, because we all continue to heal if we work on it throughout our whole lives, because there's different parts of us that need healing from time to time. And so think about that. And because we're not selfish people, we want, when we say in this chant, when we say you, that doesn't mean just the person standing or sitting next to you, literally or virtually, but you means the community, our whole community, not just us doing the ritual, but our communities, the ones we live in, spreading out. So our chant is very simple. Heal me, heal you, and heal the world. We'll say it three times, progressively getting more spirited. And at the end, just like let it go out into the universe to be heard by our gods and goddesses, by their helpers, by all who can help us to heal. So it's heal me, heal you, heal the world. Three times. So here we go. Heal me.
Heal
you.
Heal you.
Heal you.
Heal the world.
Heal the world.
Heal the world.
Heal me.
Heal me.
Heal me.
Heal you.
Heal you.
Heal you.
Heal the world.
Heal the world.
Heal the world.
Heal. One more time, all together. Heal me.
Heal me.
Heal me.
Heal you.
Heal you.
Heal you.
Heal the world. So mote it be.
So mote it be.
Before we say our goodbyes, is there anything else that anyone wants to put in the actual ritual?
I want to say that one of those people that I asked for healing for has done remarkably well. And I want to thank each of you for sending energy to her.
Wonderful.
Her foot has healed very well.
Oh.
Excellent news.
That is, it's so good to hear, because so often we don't get any feedback, and we just, yeah, that's wonderful. Thank you for telling us.
I want you to know, and she sends her thanks.
All right. Well, that's what we're
I was
for.
Really good. That's
say
our purpose.
Say that again. Exactly. To help each other. That and it's not that we need the thanks, but it's always good to hear about results.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, because it just sort of keeps us going. Yeah, it's just a good thing. So thank her for thanking us, and thank you for telling
Will
us,
do.
Rick. That's really good. Really good.
And I will throw in that Lunasa is also traditionally, in addition to the first of the harvest festival, a time of game. A time when you traditionally would go out and enjoy the summer. And just enjoy play. So I encourage everyone to go out, enjoy the sun, enjoy the season while it's here, get some fresh air, and engage in enjoying outdoor activities.
Good point.
Also, don't forget tomorrow is a black full supermoon. which is the second moon in a month, so there should be some very good energy there for new beginnings.
Also known as a She Moon or Saheed Moon.
Exactly. So go forth and use that energy as well.
Usually the years that we don't have a blue moon, we have a second new moon.
Oh.
Yes.
Two new moons in a calendar month.
I like new moons. I like some people have favorites or favorite festivals, and I just like them all. I can't choose because it's always a different energy. And
well, I think it's safe to say that 2 years ago in August, that was probably the most participated new moon that we modern pagans have done, that eclipse.
Oh, yeah.
I think more people do full moons all the time, but a new moon, that's kind of overlooked.
Yeah.
Yep.
But not August of 2017.
Yeah. That was
we were eclipse starved.
Yeah, and I remember like well, you and your son watched it, and Dave
yep.
said that they're in Albany, people from work that you wouldn't even think that they probably knew what the moon was. Actually went outside to
yep.
check things. Yeah. It was one of those times when people come together, the people that never would otherwise maybe. So it was a special time. Yeah.
It's almost like everybody celebrates Christmas.
Yeah, whether you are like a church person or not, whether you are a Christian
right.
or not, most
they
people...
They still celebrate Christmas, but
yeah,
they're not around
yeah.
the rest of the time.
Yeah. So...
Well, we're
you
talking
know,
about introspective and looking back at what earlier in the year we planted the seeds to come to fruition. I've taken on four or five different projects. And I meditated a lot about it. And I prayed and spoke to Goddess a bunch about it to give me energy and give me insight to help me do this. And it's a thing that's going to continue on. It will never be completed. This I know.
Right.
But what I have accomplished from the beginning of the year to now, I'm very happy with, and I'm very happy with the direction it's going. I feel very good about myself and what I've accomplished with it. So that's one of the things I'm celebrating tonight.
Yeah, well, that's very worth celebrating, yeah. That I like that. Well, like we're talking like this is, even though we don't even have half the year left, but still we're saying okay, the last half of the year. I went ahead and volunteered today at a place that I go frequently for just different things, and I thought, man, you know, they can use some help, so I'm going to start working there. Just when they have projects they need done and all, because you know, if you live in a community, I think that we really do need to support it as much as you can, and support the organizations that are trying to help. So I feel very good about that, and just some things have happened in my life recently that seem to have freed me. And I like that. So, yeah, this last half of the year is going to be much better for me than the first half. I'm celebrating that.
Well, that's great. That's
yeah.
a very positive thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but, you know, having it and doing something with it is two different things. So now I feel like I'm actually doing something with it. So yeah, that's good.
Well, but even doing nothing is doing something.
Yeah, maybe something you don't want to brag about, though, huh?
Not necessarily the good thing to do, but I mean...
Yeah.
it's like people who say, well, make a choice, you know, one or the other, and they go, I'm not going to make a choice. Well, you just
did.
Sure.
But that's a choice, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. If you're
so
doing
again,
nothing, you're resting.
You're resting.
There you go, or
and
backtracking.
You're putting a better plan together for what you want to do.
Maybe. If that's the case, then that's a good thing. Yeah. Well, let's do our goodbyes, and then we will talk a little bit more about favorite, maybe, vinyasas and some other things that go along with this time of year. Now that we know we're all going to be out there checking out that full moon tomorrow night.
New moon.
I'm sorry. God. Yeah, I do know the difference.
You won't see it.
Sorry.
You won't see it.
Well, that's the checking night. If it's not there, the slivers the next night maybe. You may see a couple meteors. The problem with the Perseids this year, when they peak, the moon is going to be pretty full, and it'll be harder to see them. So they're saying like the weekend before is maybe a better time to view them. They peak the 12th and 13th of August. So the weekend before the moon is quite as big, you might see them more. But from any time now, it was the 17th of July they started. So they're going quite a while.
Well, you don't want to neglect Jupiter. Jupiter is the brightest thing in the southern sky after sunset.
Oh, okay. Well, you can just stay out there all night then, because if that's like right after sunset, then you can see the meteor shower better from midnight to dawn. So you may as well just get out there in your backyard, kick back. That's right.
And wait.
Yep. And just
enjoy the nature around you and watch the show.
Right. And watch the bats and the lightning bugs and the raccoons and the possums and the coyotes and all of those people that come visiting.
Songbirds.
Well,
there you go. Now let's do our goodbyes.
Okay.
Ancestors. We thank you for being with us this night and sharing your knowledge and wisdom with us. You have inspired us to go on and create good and new things the rest of the year. You have shown us positive energy. We thank you for that. I bid you hail and farewell.
Hail and farewell.
And farewell.
Mike?
Oh, I'm next. Sorry. Lunasad, goddess of the sun, thank you for gracing us with your warmth for this year again. Hail and farewell.
Hail.
And farewell.
And farewell. To all the harvest goddesses who've joined us, bringing your blessings, bringing the grains, the fruits, the vegetables, we thank you and we say hail and farewell.
Hail.
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 And farewell.
Farewell.
Thank you, element of earth, direction of the north, for providing us with those things we need throughout the year, for giving us a solid base to stand on and a direction to grow. Thank you for joining us this night. I bid you hail and farewell.
Hail.
Hail.
And farewell.
Water, thank you for joining us tonight from the West. We thank you and say hail and farewell.
Hail and farewell.
Hail.
Hail.
Farewell. And farewell.
Farewell.
Element of fire. That which gives us the power and the desire to make those things we want come to be. We thank you for lending your powers to us tonight, fueling our desires for the rest of the year. I bid you hail and farewell.
Hail.
Hail.
Farewell.
Elements of air from the east. Thank you for joining us this night. We're inspiring good communication. We now and go forth to enjoy the gentle breeze as we celebrate the feast of the night. Hail. Farewell.
Hail.
Hail. And farewell.
And farewell.
The circle is open, never broken. As above, so below. As the universe, so the soul. As without, so within. Merry meet and merry part.
Merry
meet
again.
Merry meet again.
Merry meet again.
Okay. All right. So, who is baking bread for Lunasan?
I'm going to go to a farmer's market, buy some.
Well, there you have it. Okay. All right. That sounds good. It would be wonderful to know someone who had some kind of a wheat field in their backyard, or you know, where we could actually go and cut some down and grind it up and all of that. But for most of us nowadays, that just isn't, at least in this country, that's just not the way it is. So, farmer's market, that sounds like a good thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
getting.
What are you getting?
You can always do it on the astral plane.
That's right. Doesn't taste quite as good, but hey.
I'm getting our plants and things together because we're getting ready to move. So it's kind of. I actually have to uproot some plants and put them in pots and take care of them so we can transfer them where we're going. But we have a really nice farmer's market here every Sunday. And it's good to go there and get some fresh produce that's not set in the grocery store cooler for a month or on a truck if you get shipped. It's local growers, and it helps support them, which I think is all about. You know, the big chain supermarkets, they really don't need my support. They would like to have my money, yes, but it's like the herb shop where I get all my herbs. It's a little place that the original shop is called Leaves and Roots, and all they handled was herbs. Well, they have a shop near where I live now, and it's called A Branch of Leaves and Roots.
How cute.
Yeah, it's kind of neat how they did it. But I go in there before I'll buy even things like echinacea. I'll go there and buy it from them before I'll buy it off the shelf at the grocery store or Walmart, because I know for one, I'm getting a much better product.
Oh,
this is
definitely.
Why I'll buy it at the store.
And definitely.
I'm supporting local people in my community where I live.
Yeah.
And I think that's important. But for our own plants that we have around the house, it's gather up time and get them prepared to move.
Oh, wow, I didn't know you could.
We have one plant that I got from my mother. She had it when I was a teenager.
Oh.
And this plant has been alive and in my family for over 50 years. It's a
Well, that's very cool.
We just call it Billy. So
I can copy theirs, Dan.
We have some plants like that take kind of special care in moving. We don't just pick a pot up or whatever and throw it in the truck and go.
Yeah.
It has to be treated. You know, it's a creature of the goddess as well.
Right.
And I know some people go, this guy's only quack, but I believe it has a soul and it has feelings just the same as we do.
Well, they
it
do.
Has a different body form.
Absolutely.
You know, everything is really no different than us. We're just in different shapes.
Yeah.
It's kind of
well, our friend
at.
Lily
so,
has a, she has a ginkgo tree that has been in her family for years and years, and she sort of, you know, like checks the seasons by the ginkgo and when the leaves come out and things like that.
Yes.
And then, Rick, you said you have something that's old in the family? That doesn't sound right. You have a plant that's been around a long time? Didn't
yeah,
you say you could
yeah,
top that? Yeah.
Oh, no, that was me, Davron.
Oh, that was you. Oh, Davron. Okay, Davron's got something old in the
day. We have a Christmas cactus that was my great-grandmother's. And
oh.
This thing has been cloned. Everyone in the family has clones from it. I've got one in my office. I've got one here. But we've still got the big original. The base is gnarled and ancient,
oh,
and
wow.
Still continues to grow after 4 generations now. And every
oh,
Christmas
wonderful.
Is the focal point of our celebration.
That is wonderful. Yeah. I
that's
there, there's
something
a lot
to have.
To
that's that
yeah.
is a priceless thing.
Yeah.
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 And that's kind of the way Billy is to it.
Yeah.
Know?
Right. Yeah.
And what really gets me about the plant, it used to sit in the window in my mother's house, and during the winter, we would get like 1/4 inch of ice formed on the inside of the window. And
wow.
this plant sat right next to the frozen window and survived. And now
wow.
that we've got it here in Florida and been taking care of it, this thing is in like a 5-gallon pot and it's outgrowing the pot.
Uh-huh.
It's huge. It likes Florida and the warmth.
Well, a lot of people like Florida and the warmth. So, you know, it has its own personality, see? That's...
Most all cactus
yeah.
are in desert settings where it actually gets below freezing at different times. And
yeah.
they've adapted
so
to that. And some
yeah.
won't bloom unless they've been through some cold and dark periods.
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, my mother,
yeah.
with her Christmas cactus, yeah, in the wintertime, she always, after it bloomed it for Christmas and on, and then it would go to the basement where it wasn't freezing, but it was much cooler down there.
Less light.
Until
less light.
Fall, yeah, less light and everything, until it fall, and she'd bring it back up, yeah. But, you know, you're right. The desert gets cold. Having lived on the Oregon desert, which isn't like the one in California, maybe, and people think Oregon desert, but yes,
oh, yeah.
southeast part of Oregon, there's a desert. I know how cold it can get at night, and I know how much snow there can be there. So, yeah.
Well, technically, Antarctica is a desert. Because as a whole, Antarctica has less than 2 inches of precipitation per year. It's just that it accumulates and doesn't go anywhere.
Who knew?
And it wasn't always the way it is now.
No.
I remember, I can tell you what it used to be like way back. But, yeah. So,
I don't know if I
want to
say we're all getting old here, but between Stan and his... There used to be orange groves as far as the eye can see.
Well, I don't
oh,
know
goodness.
What you are talking about. I'm not old.
Right, Stan's been listening to rap music lately, so you don't mind.
I'm 39, and I always will be.
That's
there
right.
If
right.
Jack Benny can do it, I can do it.
And Jack Benny didn't listen
now,
to rap
not,
music,
no,
though, but hey, whatever.
And now, I'm not saying anything about my age because I used to watch Jack Benny, but, excuse me for coughing, I think I deserve that on that one. Okay.
But did you watch Jack Benny on a kerosene-powered television?
There you go. Why is there such a thing?
There was kerosene to power the TV.
Yeah, I had to have a hand crank on the side.
I had to ride a bicycle like a squirrel in a cage.
Yeah. You won't find none of them kerosene-powered televisions in the antique marks. People left the cap, the gas cap off, and they all blew up. A few years later, they converted radio to color.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And you're still watching it, aren't you?
Yeah, you used to watch the radio.
Yeah. Well, people did. I mean, they all. You see those pictures? A family sitting in the living room, all facing the radio.
You prop the Radio Guide magazine up in front of it, and whatever cover picture that week.
You do understand the radio majorly controls our life. It's like when you're driving in your car and looking for an address in an unfamiliar area and you turn the radio down so you can see better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of the same
thing.
Well,
and that's the same thing. If you're next to somebody who needs a bat or something like that, if you crank up whatever music you have, it makes it easier. You don't smell it as much. I mean,
yeah,
that's true.
Because the audio sensors are overriding stuff in the brain.
Yep.
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 Yep. Isn't that amazing? Our bodies, my goodness, they are amazing.
We're biomechanical machines.
That sounds so...
That's what the human body is.
Icky.
Well, you listen to the old radio shows, and many of the best ones were very well written for description. And it's all dialogue. It was what Shakespeare was 500 years ago. It was all for stage with no props, no stage setting. And everything was like they were telling you a story, but with multiple people. And they were telling you what was going on, what to imagine, and then you would. And when I was... let my son, when he was real little, listen to an old classic Green Hornet episode with a train in it. He had his eyes closed, and I thought he fell asleep. And I asked him, "Are you asleep?" He says, "No, I'm watching the show."
Okay. I love that. I love, that's why I never want to see a movie unless I've already read the book, because, and I don't watch many movies anyway, but if you see the movie first, then when you read the book, you keep seeing, like, the characters looking like they did in the movie. Whereas if you read the book, your imagination goes right along with the... I mean, it's a whole other world. And some things I would never want to see the movie of, because the book was good, and I know a movie couldn't do it justice, and then I would have that picture stuck in my mind. It's funny how that works.
Sometimes it works the other way. Because I seen the movie first in the Planet of the Apes series, Battle for the Planet of the Apes. Then I was required to read the book in high school. And because I was familiar with it, being very dyslexic, I was able to read it better than other books. And the book, the battle itself, was far more descriptive than what they did in the movie. The movie was almost like they just went through the motion. And after that, I just didn't want to...
more descriptive. Yeah.
Yeah, but it had a lot more action to it, and there's more. It seemed to go on longer. Whereas in the movie, it was like they... Well, of course, I've seen it on television too. So they may have edited it down, but.
But in the book, there was more interaction.
Yeah.
Emotions and thoughts and what was happening. Where in the movie, yes, those things were kind of there, but they kind of got glazed over because it had to move too quick.
Yeah.
They couldn't develop that in the movie. I've never seen a movie that's been made from a book that did justice to the book.
Oh, no.
Mm-mm.
They can't. I mean, no matter how good they are, they can't do it. You can't, you have to leave out so much. The time constraints and everything.
That's it. So you kind of have to create your own version.
But
when
like
you read
Planet
the book,
the
like
Apes,
you were talking about... Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I've never read it. I've never seen them. you know, because we know I'm movie challenged, so yeah, that's okay. But no. So what else? Oh, any favorite Lunasas? What was your favorite of all the ones you've been to or had put on? Did you have a favorite?
About 15 years ago, we were at a place called Cottonwood Campground, north of Iowa City. And while we were doing our ritual, we had a pair of bats flying in and out of the trees, right above our heads, the top treetops. And every once in a while, a third bat would join us. And this was before sunset, about an hour and a half before sunset. And these two bats were flying around in and out of our circle.
Wow. That's a little unusual. Yeah. Hmm.
Well, bats will come out before sunset. And especially this time of year, because at one time when I was at Our Haven, it was about maybe half hour before sunset. The sun was still up, and the first one started flying around that field, and the second one joined them. And just as the sun dropped below the horizon, there was at least nine bats flying around then.
Oh, wow. In that big open field. Wow.
And if anybody who remembers or have been to Our Haven, you know how that is.
Our Haven is one of the several festival places, camps in southern Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anybody else have a favorite llamas? Or Lunasa?
Llamas of 2009 in Albany, New York at Trinity Temple.
What happened then?
We and members of the temple worked very hard to create good public relations with the neighbors, because they were very close. The people that lived next door to the church, it was actually four mower widths wide. Because when I mowed the yard, it took me four passes to mow between the two buildings. So when we did rituals outside, the neighbors are all around us in their houses. Well, it got to where that day I looked around and there were neighbors that had set up lawn chairs and had a cooler with drinks in it. They were drinking tea and excuse me, things like Gatorade. They weren't drinking alcohol.
Oh.
But they were sitting about 50 feet back from our circle. And they were watching the entire ritual.
Wow.
And I thought that was just so cool,
so cool
that we had got across to this neighborhood that we weren't bad, terrible, awful people. We were humans. We had different beliefs than them, but some of our beliefs seemed to be pretty linked to what their beliefs were as far as how you treat people and how you should act.
Now that's
but
very
that was
nice.
The most memorable. That
yeah.
was the most memorable one. It just cracked me up because here I even got the neighbors attending in a sense.
That yeah, well, you guys,
coming
you
out,
guys
they're coming
were
out
on
in
June
and learning.
Yeah.
And that was a really big thing for me.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Dave, Rick,
I thought,
favorite?
This one.
Current one. Always the current one, okay. Dave?
Good answer.
another other Lunasas that we did when we were running the temple, we would go off site. And here in Albany, we have a mountain range called the Helderberg. And they overlook the entire Hudson Valley. And we would have it at a place called the Indian Ladder Trail in Thatcher Park. And we would have the and summer game on the edge of a cliff overlooking the entire valley, the field, the bounty of the harvest, the trees, and the entire valley. It was a spectacular, fun time where we would have games and food and food. And like we did in the 2009 at the temple, people would come and join us from the park. They thought it was just a big public picnic of some sort. They would join us to play games and to feast. And we went there several years consecutively, and it was a wonderful place because the views of all of the bounty about to do such a ritual. So, good memory.
Yeah. Well, I
it
there
is
again,
a,
I
it
couldn't
is a really fantastic
one.
Place.
Yeah.
Yeah. But one of my favorites would have to be my first one.
Mm-hmm.
Which was like...
Oh, you always remember the first one.
Yeah, you always remember the first one. I was trying to think, like maybe 32 years ago, Lake Michigan, and this person I had never seen, I mean, I was pretty new to this whole business, having... first hit the new moon in February and been in the spring equinox in March, but this person I'd never seen before was there and sang with no accompaniment John Barleycorn, which of course I had never heard, and I heard that and the voice. And it's one of those times, you know, I just told myself, well, he's going to be in my life. And sure enough, from that night on, for years, he was in my life. So, you know, really good memories of the ritual, the song, the man. You know, it's just one of those good things, like everything just meshed together. It was good. So, yeah. But that was my first John Barleycorn thingy. So I mean, I'm familiar with John and all his agony, everything he goes through before he becomes a drink. It's like, oh yeah. But so this time, besides farmers markets, what else are we all doing and looking at the new moon or looking at the sky without the new moon? What all are we doing for this particular holiday?
Turning the page of the calendar.
Oh, okay. turn the page.
Please
that
excuse
song.
Me. Yeah. I need to depart, my friends. Hail and farewell.
Hail and farewell.
Hail and farewell.
Blessed,
night,
blessed, Vanessa.
Thank
okay.
you. Bye. Bye.
And Gwen had to leave and wishes everybody a wonderful holiday also. So, anything else, guys, that we need to touch on?
Just everyone go forth and enjoy this time of year again. Try to get outside. Enjoy the earth. Have some frivolity and fun in the sun before the fall and the darker season begin to encroach upon us. This is the peak of the time for enjoying the bounty of the earth. So try to get out there and do that. And while you're out there, try to do something nice for the world. Pick up some trash.
There you go.
Trail. Some trees, whatever you can do.
Well, and you're talking about, you know, getting outside, and so let me just put a plug in here. Speaking of Southern Indiana, at a campground called I can't even think what it's called now, but you can see it on my Facebook. There's a short festival over Labor Day weekend called Libertine. Labor Day Libertine.
Midland Campground.
It's at Midian. Three
Midian.
Syllables, Midian. And I, if you're into things just a little bit, there's a lot of pagans there, and it's one of those kinky kind of things, but lots of good people and fun times. Also, at another campground called Lothlorien in Southern Indiana, the weekend of the 20th, whatever the 20th is on. Anyway, it's right around there in September. It starts on the 19th of September and it ends on the 22nd. Is Wild Magic. More pagans, more fun. Both are really nice places to be with good people. And if you like camping, check them out.
Well, I'm from Southern Indiana, and I come to Florida to learn about these groups that were in Southern Indiana I never knew of.
There are several. Four. And, you know, earlier Mike mentioned R. Haven. There's that. There's about three or four more. Lots of private campgrounds pagans either own or rent a big portion of. So, yeah.
Whoa.
It's a good thing. Southern Indiana is beautiful, and it's down there where it's white, hilly. This is where the glaciers stopped, like right across the edge of southern Ohio, Indiana, and Illinois. And you can tell the difference. And,
the
of course,
Shoals.
Yeah, and of course, it's Amish country. Because I have never been to a festival, whether it's been Indiana, Ohio, New York, Maryland. I've never been to a festival that wasn't in Amish country. For whatever reason, when you get close to our campgrounds, you see the sign with the horse and buggy, and you're in Amish country. So whatever that means, I don't know.
Well, it means to watch out for the horse and buggy.
It means to watch out for
the
horse and buggy. Exactly. But, I mean, I don't know. We managed to get land, I guess, that is, you know, cheaper or seen. I don't know, but... It's in
Amish
country.
Well, part of the community is a very sacred area to them. Now, the town I lived in Indiana, there was hitching post and horse draw at the grocery store for the Amish that come to shop in their buggies. And Walmart even had a buggy barn built for during the winter. That had stalls the horses could be in so they weren't in the direct wind and stuff while the owners went in the shop. And those signs are just to let motorists know there could be buggies on the road to watch for.
Well, no, I know what the sign is for, but I'm not sure why we have campgrounds in those areas. There's a big Amish area not far from where I live.
It's not necessarily... an Amish area, it's just an area where Amish are. It's not like they control the area.
Yeah, well,
it's
where
just,
I am,
you know, no
they
different.
Do.
It's, to me, it's
near here.
No different than driving down the road and seeing a bear sign or a deer sign. And you get, watch for deer crossing. And down here, there's one room for someone. There must be 20 signs that warn about watch for brown bear crossing. And to me, that's kind of the same thing as the Amish sign.
Well, the
just
thing is, though, when you've seen quite a few, you are in the country. Not far from where I live, is a big, big community. And, you know, they have the factories, they make the furniture, they do all of that. It's very interesting. But anything else about our festival? And so we won't be able to see the moon tomorrow night, but we might see a sliver on Thursday or Friday night, if we're lucky.
Yeah, if we're lucky, because they posted an article earlier, and I went out and read parts of the article. And according to it, the moon's going to be transversing the sky with the sun. And that's why you won't be able to see it, because you're going to kind of be staring into the sun. The glare of the sun will block the view of the moon. And at night, you're definitely not going to see it. Now, this is according to this article, and I only read pieces of it. I didn't read the entire article, but he posted that on Facebook in the New Aeon Church International Discussion Group. I'll throw a plug in there.
There you go. Okay. All right,
anyway,
you guys, have a wonderful, whatever you do, whatever.
Thank you for all being together tonight.
Absolutely, guys. Happy Lunasa.
Take care.
Later. Never goodbye, just later.